Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Loveline with Dr. Chris starts.
3, 2, 1.
Now.
All right, y'all. Happy hump day. You've almost done it. Hang in there. We got a few days off. I hope you got a few days off. I got a few days off. I'm telling you, I'm going to be focusing on self-care. People are like, oh, big plans for the holiday. I'm like, nah, I'm sleeping in. I'm sleeping, I'm reading, and I'm eating. And I'm going to turn my phone off. I'm tired. But we got a great show planned for you tonight. It is Tuesday night, so we got all of our Tuesday night stuff. I don't have my thing in front of me, but our question night's up on our Loveline IG page. So weigh in on that. And of course, we'll be doing body positive. So we got Virgie Tovar joining us. Always dropping gems, blowing our minds. And, you know, again, last week we started a new segment. It's our body positive segment. And our body positive segment is all about honoring and talking about diverse and creative ways of being sexual and relational. And tonight we got a good one. We're going to be talking about being a sugar baby. It's kind of like the whole sugar mama thing. All right, let's get into some stuff. So, give me a minute. Okay, there we go. 28% of millennials. This number sounds low, but it's way too high. 28% of millennials said they wouldn't hug or be friends with someone who's HIV positive. That's way too high of a number. I thought y'all were doing a little bit better with our sex education, but as always, it's America, so not so much. So look, y'all, we got to talk about this. Hugging someone, you cannot transmit the HIV virus or an STD or STI hugging someone. And you certainly can't by being friends with them. But what you can do by doing that is be a bigot. So we got to get educated because we know that treatment as prevention is massive and U equals U, which means undetectable means untransmittable. This is also supported by the CDC, which basically means that if someone has HIV and they're taking their meds and they're following the protocol and their viral load is therefore undetectable, they cannot transmit the virus to someone else. But of course, we've been talking on the show endlessly about PrEP, which is a pill that you can take daily, which has a higher efficacy rate of other safer sex methods. It's about 98% effective at preventing the transmission of HIV. So we got to get better and do our homework, right? Because again, I'm part of the Plus Life team, which is this really great online platform that educates people around HIV and STDs. And I do a weekly video for them. But we got more information about this up on our website, wearechannelq.com, which is also where we podcast all of our shows. All right, let's talk a little bit about sex dreams. Yeah, we all have them. Why? Because we have a wild fantasy life in our heads. But I think the most important thing I remind people about sexual fantasies, whether it's in your dreaming life or in your waking life, is that it doesn't necessarily mean that it's something you want to do. And that's what's beautiful about fantasy and also pornography, is that some of our sexual interests can get played out or lived that we wouldn't actually want to do in real life, whether it's because of the smells of it, the sights of it, or even pulling it together, making it happen. But just know that it doesn't mean that that's what you want to do. And that's what can distress some people around their fantasies. Oh my God, is that who I am? Is that something I want to do? Am I going to leave my marriage and my wife and my kids to act these things out? No, you have impulse control. You have boundaries. You have empathy. Those are things that kind of keep it in, or you just don't really want to do it. But it could also tell you that there are things you want to do. You might realize I've been dreaming or thinking or fantasizing a lot about something. Maybe I need to do the work of having this conversation with my partners or myself and finding a way to fold it into my life. That's why I love sexual fantasies and dreams, because sometimes they are honest parts of things that we want to do. And then sometimes, of course, they have more hidden meanings, which no one can decode the hidden meaning. And that's why I don't like those articles that are like, if you dream about this, it means this. No, because they're symbols. And symbols are going to have different meanings and values for everyone, especially culturally, but also just individually. So you got to sit with yourself and say, what does this mean to me? So I was looking at this other article. It was making me laugh, all these things do, because it was about what your zodiac sign says about how you like to have sex. So, you know, I flipped to the Scorpio section because I'm a good Scorpio. I actually think I'm a double Scorpio. I don't really remember. I'm going to have someone astrologically, the queer astrologer, come back on and tell me. I forget.
You could just download the app.
Or I could just download the app. So basically, this article, the study was saying that Scorpios are most likely to buy condoms online. Like, what? That's such an odd qualifier. Well, unfortunately, I don't buy condoms online. Why? Because we are supported by Trojan condoms, and I get them for free in bulk because Trojan is the best. But I don't buy them online. That's odd to me that they had to qualify that. And also for Scorpios, they added that they're the most likely of the signs to explore using handcuffs or other restraints during sex. That is correct. I'm not going to lie about that. I do have bed restraints. I do. They're not handcuffs. They're cloth. Because the handcuffs, if they're metal, will dig and cut you. So this is like a little kink education 101. You buy the soft ones, or at least the ones that have fake fur on them, because the metal will dig. People go for the metal because they want, like, you know, what they see in TV. But you got to get the softer restraints. But I actually do. That's not wrong. Let's just play a little game. Jeffrey, what's your sign?
Pisces,
you, I'm going to tell you about yourself. Okay. Pisces are known for being emotional and sensitive. God, ain't that right?
She is.
She sure is. They reported bold confidence in the bedroom. I'm going to have to co-sign on that from what I've heard. And according to this, 27% of Pisces said they filmed themselves and their partner during sex more than once.
Oops.
No? Okay. You got to step that up.
No, I haven't.
Oh, you have? All right. How about you? What's your star sign?
Pisces.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes, sir.
All right, so do you agree with that as well?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. MEQ?
Aries.
She's an Aries.
Fire sign.
Aries. Aries are equated with rams, but in the bedroom, they can be like a camel.
What?
But they don't even say what that means. Okay. So I don't really know how to understand what a camel in the bedroom is. But Aries are most likely to report not having sex for long periods. Oh, Emmy's like, ain't that a lie? Oh, and also they found that 27% of Aries said they had gone more than 2 years without having sex. Oh, Emmy, these...
Why are they saying that?
Lies and deceit. It's offensive. All right, coming up next, we're going to be talking about domestic violence because today's International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women. Definitely want to honor that. And then we'll be swooping into our sex positivity segment talking about sugar babies. Yeah, I got to stick around for that one. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. We got our question night up on our Loveline IG page. So weigh in on that one. Tonight's question is a little holiday centered. It's what are you most thankful for? Yeah, we like to keep it positive sometimes. You can make it funny too, though. And of course, we'll be doing our sex positive segment, which I'm all about. It's about celebrating and normalizing creative, diverse ways of being. Tonight, we're going to be talking about sugar babies. But right now, we want to honor that today is International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women. I think this is super important. You know, for those that are saying, why, we're still talking about this? Well, yeah, we are, because this is still a problem that we haven't dismantled. Now, a lot of people are entering this from a heterosexual perspective. So me, I want to always take the lesser acknowledged perspective, and that's for same-sex relationships, woman on woman, or even man on man. Now, the problem is that we don't necessarily always see that as something that happens in same-sex relationships, but it does. We often think that it's something that's about people in opposite gendered relationships or that it has to be always coming from a man. Women can suffer violence from another woman, and same-sex relationships have to be aware of that. It is something that does exist, and it's not always taken seriously. So first off, just know that it's possible in all relationships. It's not necessarily always coming from a male figure in a heterosexual relationship. And also know that it's really rooted in power and control. So it doesn't always have to be physically violent. It can be things such as financial violence, social violence. That's when a partner is not hitting you or harming you in a physical way, but they are trying to control finances or your finances, or they're using finances to maintain power over you. That would be a way that that would happen. Also social violence or abuse, where they're telling you who you can be friends with or telling you you can't have friends, making you feel bad for having friends, trying to tell you what you can wear out of the house, when you can leave the house. These are all forms of emotional abuse. And when we talk about domestic violence, we want to also know the emotional pieces and be able to look for those red flags and those triggers. So know that it's not just physical, because some of the ways we talk about it on an emotional level are what we call implied violence. And that's when they make threats that are indirect, or even physical violence that's implied, where they maybe throw things around the house, not necessarily directed at you. That again is another way to assert power and control, because violence is more so about power and control. We want to be thinking about that. So what I remind people when they're worried about it is that escalation is what you want to be aware of in a new relationship. If the violence seems to be escalating, that's definitely going to be a red flag that you might be in a relationship that needs to end. When in doubt, get into some couples therapy. It's really good to have someone else to bounce things off of. because it's really hard to know what might be normal relational issues, normal relational conflict, because all relationships have some level of their struggles. But just remember that the emotional also has a physical component to it, because it still affects trauma, still affects our nervous system and our brains and our psyche and all of that. So just, again, today, every day, but today specifically, just sit down and really look at yourself, because that's what a lot of the work is. Identifying these factors in others, but also in ourselves. Are you someone who uses overt or covert forms of domestic violence or abuse? Are you someone who financially, emotionally, or socially tries to take power and control and assert it over your partner, deciding what they can do and what they can't do? Are you someone who thinks that physical violence is a way to solve problems? If so, this is the work. And I was on the morning show here on Channel Q, The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela. And what was really interesting is we were talking about this as a topic, but Jay Rodriguez said to me, hey, is this something that can be resolved? You know, is it like a cheater, once a cheater, always a cheater, once an abuser, always an abuser? And I said, you know, listen, my whole job as a therapist and psychologist is the understanding that people can change. But you want to look for more than just an apology, because an apology is a very empty statement. What I look for is someone who's apologetic, someone who's accountable and owns what they did, and someone who also is willing to talk about and get into the work to resolve and be better. And that's what you want to look for in a partner, to know that maybe there's a potential that this can be resolved. So more to talk about that down the road, but when in doubt, get into some couples therapy or get into therapy yourself and process that. All right, coming up next, our sex positivity segment. You got to stick around for that. Our question night's up on our Loveline AG page. Listen to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back, and now it's time for our sex positivity segment.
You got a fetish for my love.
And the whole purpose of this is I'm always trying to normalize diverse, creative ways of being sexually, relationally. And so tonight we have Caden Harveland with us. How's it going, Caden?
Good. How about you, Chris?
Oh, I'm doing awesome. Thanks for being with us. So we're going to talk tonight about sugar daddies and sugar daddy dating apps. But for those that aren't even familiar with that generalized concept, can you explain what that means and what that is?
So sugar daddies and sugar mommies is kind of like a concept where you are exchanging your time, energy, mentality, emotional needs in return for money to someone else that is typically older than you and has a lot more money than you. And this is something I have done my whole career.
Okay.
So it's something very difficult to do, but also something that you can learn and get a hang of.
And I'm a big fan of this because, you know, in our culture, we're really supportive of people using their intellect to be their career or to generate capital and income. And I'm a fan of the ability for someone to use their body or their sexuality. So, you know, sex positivity is about the recognition that sex is an appropriate way to use anything. And so what made you decide to choose this as opposed to all the various ways that you could generate an income?
So surprisingly, I'm not a very sexual person in general. I just happened to download Grindr and Seeking Arrangement one day, I'd say about 3 or 4 years ago. And I wasn't really on there to hook up, but even though those are hookup apps, that's what I knew it was main purpose for. So I was being asked to have sex and do those sexual things with them for money.
Okay.
And usually I wouldn't say no.
Attaboy.
Because it's like, why would I have sex with this person anyways, regardless if there's money or not involved,
right.
And not be paid for it, but be paid for it if I'm going to do it anyways, you know? So it's like, so I found that happening repeatedly one after another. And obviously, like, I have a type, you know? So like, I like to differentiate if someone has the characteristics that I like or not. And most of the time they don't. So it's not very common that I have sex with my sugar daddies.
Okay.
But when they do, it's like, okay, this is like a nice exchange because I can enjoy it as well.
And I like what you said in the opener that, you know, what being a sugar baby or sugar daddy is about is not always just the exchange of sex, but it's exchange of time and energy and care and attention. And so kind of what you just said is that it's not always sexual based. And so it would be about what, spending time together or just giving them attention?
Attention, I'd say, would be the biggest,
okay.
Yeah, hold. A lot of people, I'd say, once they hit a point in their bank account where they just are so satisfied with their financial status, and that can leak onto various other aspects of their life, like work is really good, friends is really good, your health is really good, you're going to the gym because you have the best personal trainer. But one thing that you can't really buy is love. And so I think that's why these people are so willing to just be like, here's as much money as I can, because that is what you want and that is all I can give, really.
Okay, I love that. So tonight we're talking with Kaden Harveland about being a sugar baby and the sugar daddy and sugar mama world. So what are some of the myths? Are there any major myths that you've heard when people talk about being a sugar baby?
Yes, and I didn't know there was a lot of myths or stereotypes to sugar baby or the sugar daddy lifestyle. And I didn't really consider it sex work until I started to have sex within it. But once Huffington Post and Daily Mail came out with articles about me, that's when I really got the most criticism. Okay. And the most commented thing I got was that I'm a lowlife, that I'm lazy, that I don't like to put in work, I am a half-asser, I am a slut, I'm going to get AIDS, I'm going to get STDs, I'm going to die.
Whoa.
And my looks aren't going to last forever, so I may be a solid 7 now, but I'm going to be a 4 in 5 years, so...
So wait, Kaden, stop there for a second. So that's a lot of public attack. How do you...
Yes,
how
absolutely.
Do you... Your age, because you're 19?
19, yeah.
How do you ground yourself and reconnect to a level of confidence with that kind of pushback? Because I can't imagine having all those words slung at me. That's horrible.
Yeah, honestly, it was very hard, and it was definitely hard for my family, too, because I was living with my mom and my little sister at the time when I came out, and... It was very hard for my mom to see her son be like slandered like that. Oh, so hard. Sure. And what always truly kept me is I had YouTube for a while, so I was being criticized on there all the time, but never to the extent of every single age range. I'd say on YouTube it's like age 13 to 18, but when you're on Daily Mail and Huffington Post, that's reaching every age range
right.
in the world. That's reading
right.
the news, you know. So I'm being criticized by people that are 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, my age, you know, and having my mom see other people her age criticize someone that's my age was just like really super hard for her. But I just told her that what I do, the sugar baby lifestyle, what I do behind the doors, behind the camera, you know, I enjoy doing it and I get paid a ton of money for it.
And I think that's important what you just said. And that's why let me just highlight that, because I work with clinically as a sex therapist, a lot of sex workers, and I'm friends uh-huh. with a multitude of sex workers. And the cultural assumption is always that people are not wanting to do it, that they're feeling bad about it, that it's impacting their lives negatively. And you're saying it's quite the opposite for you.
Yeah. And I have found it so beneficial. I've gotten to finish high school completely early because I got to switch to online and paid for all of it through sugar daddies and that oh. lifestyle. I got to pay off my car bills, my car payments, all of those, that type of stuff. So obviously not having a car payment and having that extra money is very beneficial to going out and hanging with friends whenever I want, or going to events and festivals, which is very cool, or going across the country to fly with my best friend for a weekend, as well as get work done all around the world. And like I mentioned in my bio that I started a business, and I have been able to fund my whole business by myself and be my own investor, basically. So that is something that I really took in pride in, because I know that's so rare to find.
So people listening would probably, I mean, you're pretty good salesman. So a lot of people listening might think, huh, this is something I might want to consider getting into. Who would you recommend uh-huh. this to, and who would you not recommend this to?
I would recommend this to someone that is confident and doesn't take no for an answer and is very ambitious. You really have to manifest this type of stuff and keep going, because it is hard and it's not a reliable income, you know, so you have to be putting in your work all the time, and it is a full-time job. So I'd say someone that is very dedicated, very hardworking, ambitious, money-oriented, knows how to keep track of their money, knows how to balance their money, you know, keep a budget, because you can get thousands of dollars all in one night, but that can go down the drain so fast.
Kaden, obviously your parents raised you well, because you seem to have a very good head on your shoulders.
So funny.
I mean, I'm a lot older than you. There's this, you know, there's this part of me that wants to make sure you're taking care of yourself. So with people knowing that you're 19, I want to just make sure I'm commenting on safety. What are the steps you take to make sure that you're being safe?
Yeah. So, I guess this kind of ties back into your last question of who shouldn't you, or who shouldn't do this. People that are scared, just scared in general, someone that takes in stereotypes and believes them, someone that really truly believes what they read on the media. Mm-hmm. And because I know the stereotypes around sex work and sugar dating is very strong in today's age.
Yeah.
So I feel like you really have to be open-minded to take your foot out of that box and really do it yourself. You know, it's kind of like a new sport, something that you have to start from the ground up and build yourself up. But I'd say some safety tips, honestly, is have really good intuition. Trust your gut feelings.
I really appreciate especially the intuitive part. So, Caden Harveland, where can people find you?
People can find me on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. My Instagram is just Caden, so K-A-E-D-E-N, and then I have Kalactic, which is my business that I just launched, so which is very fashion-oriented. So awesome. That has been very funded through the Sugar Daddy Lifestyle, which is very awesome, and that is called Kalactic. So.
Awesome. Thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right, be well, man.
Thanks.
All right, coming up next, we're going to be sliding into those DMs. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. Time to slide into those DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding into DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms because it's a big old sexy world and we want you to explore with confidence. Here we go. Question for you, Dr. Chris. Hi. I've seen someone for a few months and things have been going super well. We are very into each other and I'm confident and comfortable in the relationship. Ah, it's like you're rubbing it in. Thing is, we haven't talked about past relationships at all. I don't think he's hiding anything. I'm unsure whether this is something we must discuss before continuing our relationship. A part of me is curious. The other part of me is worried that knowing too much about their past will accidentally taint my view on them. Can you let me know if discussing past relationships is imperative to developing something new with your significant other? Longtime fan of Dr. Chris and the show. Thank you. Thank you for being a supporter. You know, it's kind of both and neither. I think that asking questions about someone's past relationships should, in theory, help you understand how they see relationships, how lovingly they run them. I always say if you ask someone how their last relationship or so ended, that you'll learn about whether or not they have healthy, like, ending skills, because you want people to, in theory, have nothing negative to say about their ex, because I want people to leave while things are going, you know, not horribly yet, and really take care of themselves and love and leave in a loving way so that they can feel positively about each other, maybe still have a friendship. So those are the kind of things you want to find out. But, you know, look, we're all very relationally created, which means depending on who we're dating, different parts of ourselves are going to come out, right? Different triggers, different struggles. So no, it's not imperative. Just be present to what is. It sounds like everything's going awesome. So you have my blessing. God bless. Slide in the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms because it's a big old sex world. Want to explore with confidence? Coming up next, Body Positivity with Virgie Tovar. Stick around.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back and it's time because it's Tuesday night for our Body Positivity.
What's wrong with being confident?
All right, so of course we got with us Virgie Tovar, author of Right to Remain Fat and also activist. How's it going?
Going well, thank you.
So as always, I watch your travels on IG and I'm like, she is everywhere. Where are you now?
I mean, I'm in Santa Cruz, California, where it's rainy and it's also like the set of the movie Us. And so it's always going to have that connotation for me now.
That is one of my all-time favorite places. I just last year was dating someone that lived in Santa Cruz and going up there slowed my heart rate down. It is so stunning up there. What a gift.
Yeah, totally.
So we have two things I want to break down tonight. I guess we'll start with the one first, and then we'll kind of close out with some thoughts about, you know, how to get through the holidays. But before we get there, it ties into that. Let's talk about how, as a smaller or straight-sized person, one can support their larger-bodied or fat friends.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was reading an article recently by Your Fat Friend on Medium, and it had so many fantastic points. And I felt like the take home point for me, the line that I love the most was really recognizing that it's not just having your heart in the right place or having good intentions or you personally not engaging in fat phobia and bigotry. You actually have to actively undo some of the harm. And that involves occasionally, right, putting a little bit of skin in the game and risking something. I think a lot of the reasons why like straight size, smaller size people don't interrupt fat phobia when they see it is A, they may not recognize what it is. And so, right, like the job becomes, how do I figure out how to see it, right? How do I begin to understand this is a form of discrimination? And comments like, you know, you look like you've lost weight, or like, oh my goodness, these cookies are so evil, right? These things actually have a cumulative insidious effect. I think the other reason is that sometimes they may not know it, but they don't want to lose privilege. They don't want to stand out and be that person who's standing with the weirdo in the room. And they're really scared that we're taught to be afraid to be seen as in allegiance with someone who is maybe on the outside, and really working past that and saying, like, speaking up in moments. I think another thing that's really fantastic and easy is make sure that when you are doing activities together, that you have done the research to make sure they're accessible, right? Like, for instance, one thing people don't know is, like, indoor skydiving has a weight limit. Certain kinds of activities, like horseback riding, even, you have to be intentional about weight. But simple things like, are there chairs with no armrests that are going to be accessible? Is there seating that's not booth seating?
And I love what you said about the skin in the game, because there was a time, and I'll call myself out, where I literally was that person where, again, I am what a lot of people define as maybe gym bodied or part of that culture. And I was kind of like Christy Teigen did this once, where I posted a picture of me eating something and I was like, you know, busting down, food issues. And Christy posted a picture with a donut. She's like, body positive, I'm eating this donut. And it's like, no, that's not exactly helping anyone or really busting through anything. Like, you gotta, as you said, put some teeth in the game or have some skin in the game and really kind of stand out, make yourself uncomfortable and undo some of the oppressions on others. So I had to get more thoughtful about that. And that's why I thought this is a good topic, because I'm always trying to figure out how I can be better. And those that are familiar with Tess Holliday, who's a plus size model, she taught me that. We were at Disneyland and I'd be like, I want to go on this ride, I want to go on that ride, like, come on. And she's like, listen, you have to be more thoughtful about what rides I can actually fit on. Like, did you check in on that?
Yeah.
I was like, you're right.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, I have the situation. I mean, I'm a fat person. I was at an amusement park with another fat friend, and she actually, like, the weight, the restrictions weren't affecting me so much, but they were affecting her. And I got off the ride too with her. I was like, I am not doing this. Like, you know, this is poop garbage.
That's right.
I'm not going along with it. So I think even just like taking that moment to sit with her and just be like, are you okay? Do you feel okay? Right. Because like, it's this constant bombarding experience of just feeling like you don't fit into your own society that's like hurtful.
So tonight we're talking with Virgie Tovar, author and activist, author of The Right to Remain Fat, which is a stunningly powerful book. I've read it twice. Can we talk quickly about Thanksgiving tips for those that are going home for the holidays, whether they honor Thanksgiving or Indigenous Peoples Day or whatever it makes, however, whatever meaning it makes to them in their world? What are things that they need to consider around getting through the holidays without feeling as though family members or others are health policing or food policing or weighing on their weight?
Well, I have five tips for people who are really afraid going into this holiday because they're scared to get triggered around body shame. The first thing is, I call it make a triggers heat map. Figure out where you're going and rate it as like a green, a yellow, or a red. Green is like, no triggers, I'm going to leave this place feeling great. Yellow is like, okay, maybe vulnerability isn't a good idea. And then red is like, I need to go in, have an exit plan, and make sure I have an aftercare plan for when I leave and I'm like feeling messed up. The second thing is say no to stuff. You have the right to say no to parties. You have the right to exit conversations. Just remember that you always have the right to leave an interaction that's feeling really upsetting. The third thing is, remember that your feelings matter. Whether you're happy or sad or you're frustrated or you're angry, it doesn't matter if anybody else can't hold those feelings. Recognize that you're having them and then take care of yourself in the face of them. The fourth thing is, you don't have to be brave. I think there is this idea that we have to have a stiff upper lip and just kind of like, you know, bite our tongue through it. We actually don't. We actually have the right to stand in our authenticity and or just opt out completely. We don't have to be brave. And the last thing is, make and schedule an aftercare plan. If you're anticipating being all triggered after Thanksgiving or whatever you're celebrating, I highly recommend take a few minutes to figure out what you're going to do to take care of yourself once you get home. Maybe it's a snuggly blanket. Maybe it's watching Holiday Baking Championship. Whatever it is, just plan it into your schedule. Put it in the Google Cal.
Oh, that was so beautiful, because I feel like those five tips and that heat map can be applied to so many different things in our lives that it might be a struggle.
Yeah.
So that was stunning. Thank you so much. Every time you sit with us, I always learn so much. So that was awesome. So empowerment based. And again, read Virgie's books, your articles. Like, these are things that are so supportive and circle through all these topics. Where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Virgie Tovar or virgietovar.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much, and enjoy the rest of your travels.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Coming up next, we're going to be doing a little freak on the streets and then our question of the night. So still some time to weigh in on that on our Loveline IG page. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. We got our question of the night up on our Loveline IG page. Tonight's question is, what are you most thankful for? Why? Because it's holiday time. So weigh in on that. We break that on down next. But right now, it's time for some freak on the streets.
Freak on the streets.
Oh, shoot. What you got for me tonight?
I've been having a lot of interesting sexual fantasies. How do I go about telling my partner about them?
Oh, well, first off, well done. Well done. Have those fantasies. You don't always have to. So in a safe relationship, right, that's always the caveat. If you're with someone who's safe, someone who doesn't kink shame, because again, we talked about this often on Loveline, when a partner or someone in your life says, hey, I want to share with you deeper parts of my sexuality, I want to be more honest, build more intimacy, let you in, your first response, regardless of what you think or whether or not you're into it, is always thank you. Thank you for caring enough to be willing to share that with me and for being vulnerable. So if someone's safe, let it rip, because there's something beautiful in that. You're known deeper. It'll normalize things for them. Maybe they'll come forward and share something with you as well. Maybe you realize there's things you want to try together. So I love that. It's an intimacy building exercise, or it's something that you're just trying to request because you want to kind of try these things. But if it's someone you don't know well, trust hasn't been built, and you don't know if they're healthy enough sexually to hear these things, then maybe you don't, and you kind of keep them to yourself. So just know that it's not something you always have to share, because healthy adults are allowed to have some privacy and boundaries, even in long-term committed relationships or marriages. Bam. All right, what else we got?
I love playing my PlayStation, but some of my family have been getting angry with me because I don't hang out with them in real life. What advice would you give someone who doesn't like going out?
Oh, there's a few questions in that one. So first off, not everyone has to be highly social, right? We in our culture tend to pin mental health to socialization, but some people are more asocial and don't really enjoy being around a lot of people or socializing much, and that's okay. And you're allowed to use things like video games or whatever you need to do to kind of entertain yourself. But if you don't like socialization, don't do it, right? But I would remind people that just because you don't like being around a lot of people or certain social situations, just make sure that there's not other realms in which it does make sense to you. I don't like being around high numbers of people. Going to a dinner party or house party can be very overwhelming to me. So what I do to socialize so that it feels most comfortable is I hang out one-on-one. I'll make plans with one person in an environment that makes safe that feels safe to me. You can set a time limit, right? Where you can say, hey, yeah, I'll spend time with you. I have an hour or 15 minutes. Let's go do this. So just set scenarios or environments that feel safe to you. Set a time frame around it so that it's limited. When you're feeling uncomfortable, you can leave, but don't let people make you feel bad that you don't like to socialize a lot. Again, just to personalize this, I'm one of those people where if I go to a social event, I need a day or two at least on my own to kind of unwind. I was in Seattle this past weekend doing a lecture and a book tour. And after 2 days of being around a lot of people and a lot of people wanting a lot of closeness and intimacy, afterwards, a couple of people were like, hey, do you want to go grab a drink or go to dinner? And I was very honest. I said, no, you know what? I'm kind of at my social capacity, max capacity. I need to just put on my earphones and go wander around the city or go spend some time back in my hotel room. So I was just forthcoming and honest about it. And I was confident knowing that, like, you're allowed to set those boundaries, especially with the holidays coming. People are going to want to see you and spend time with you. Set the boundaries. Only see the people you want to see, how long you want to see them, and where you want to see them. But don't feel bad about it. And whatever you need to do to kind of make that work is solid for you. All right, coming up next, question of the night. Still some time to weigh in on that. And then we'll be closing out the show with some DMs. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. So we got Jared Hill coming on tomorrow night. It's Wednesday. We do our little buddy talk. And this is one of the things I wanted to talk to him about because I really like his political perspective. And I think it's something that's kind of like, I don't know, it has a lot of gray areas. So Jamie Lee Curtis came out and she was saying that she supports outing closeted anti-gay politicians. And I guess the dilemma for me is like I see it in two different perspectives. So tomorrow I'll hear what he thinks. But on one hand, I never think it's appropriate to out someone around anything, right? Because you never understand what someone's environment is and how safe it is. And this impacts people's family. It impacts their jobs. It also impacts their kids. So if it's just done as a weapon to punish someone because of their policies we don't like, I don't see anything really productive or meaningful in that, just to harm, because I don't think harm is a resolution. And I don't think harm is part of justice either. And that's my issue with the criminal injustice system, is that when someone does something bad or wrong, just throwing them in prison is punishment. And that doesn't right anything. That's not corrective. It's not transformative or healing. Now, having said that, I do think, though, if it's an anti-gay politician, if outing them maybe removes them from their position of harming people systemically, institutionally, and on a macro level, that I can see some value in. As long as it has a transformative purpose, then I can kind of get behind that. Because otherwise, I think we're just unnaturally weaponizing something in a culture that's already problematically homophobic. So there's that. And also, I don't know. Jamie Lee, I'm pretty sure, is hetero-identified, so I'm not really, I don't really care about her thoughts on gay politics. But anyway, so that is. All right, time for question of the night.
Question of the night.
All right, tonight's question of the night is, what are you thankful for? Because it's a holiday season, which, by the way, we've spoken about this already. Some people are celebrating Thanksgiving. It has a historical legacy of violence. So let's make it a celebration of Indigenous Peoples Day. Those who's on their wounded shoulders, we've built some of this problematic culture. So that's how I'm celebrating. I'm going to celebrate it full of thanks and thanking the Indigenous individuals and just holding space for the violence that occurred, you know, saying some prayers. Question night, though, what are you thankful for? Let's see what y'all said. First one, that I set boundaries and not feeling guilty for not participating. Bam. I'm not participating either. I really wish it was a holiday that we transformed its meaning and value, even the name. When people say Happy Thanksgiving, like, my body cringes for a minute. I'm like, that's not what it's about. Someone else said family, health, and happiness. I'm into that one. My God, that's my goals for next year. Not the family part, but the health and happiness. I don't know, maybe family. Maybe I'll have some kids next year. Next year, 2020, it's a good year for popping out some kids. Someone said, having the privilege to be totally subpar. This, I love this. This is what they're thankful for. Having the privilege to be totally subpar and still have a roof over my head. All right. I'm not sure if I should read into that one. I don't know if you're making a joke. I'm not really sure to go with that one. Someone said, love in my life through fulfilling relationships and growing in my career. Oh, that's sweet. I'm always happy to hear that some people are thriving, right? Because it's been a rough year for a lot of us, culturally and socially, financially. So happy to hear that. Good for you. Someone said they're thankful for friendship. I'm all right. I'm into that one. I'm thankful for some friends I have in my life. There's some I'm not so much thankful for. But you know what I mean? New year, new us. Someone else said they're thankful for Dr. D and his gems. Oh, I'm thankful for you. Maybe I'll send you a special DM. No one in the studio is laughing tonight. Everyone's like, you are not funny. Let's get the show over and get home. Someone else said they're thankful for their family. They've supported me through everything. Oh, I'm happy you have that. Somebody said, I'm thankful that after 7 years of having to work on the holiday, I now have a job that gives me paid time off and I can take the time to spend with my family without stressing out about missing hours. That's stunning. I wish everyone had that. You know, one of the things I'm trying to draw attention to, and look, we all know what we need, but I'm trying to speak to the listeners that might be bosses and managers or CEOs. Look, give your employees healthcare. Give your employees a living wage. People should be able to, via one job, get all their needs met and their bills paid. And y'all sitting in your nice houses with employees whose backs you've built your careers upon and your finances that aren't getting their needs met. So like the person who just wrote in, who's thankful for being able to do that for the first time this year, look out for the people that you need. We often think we need our jobs. Our jobs need us as much as we need them. And we need to be, honor that reciprocal relationship. So anyway, y'all focus on self-care, though. That's the one thing I want to remind everyone. It's a holiday season. I'm going to do this around the next holiday season. Focus on self-care. Set some goals. What boundaries you need to set? Who do you want to be around that makes you feel good and thriving in your life? And what are some things you want to do that make you feel nurtured and nourished? Like, that's what the holiday should be about. So take that time. It doesn't have to be about giving or about others, preparing those dinners and everything. Ask yourself what you need, especially those that traditionally are always centering their time and energy around the needs of others. You know what I mean? So prioritize that. That's what I'm doing this next couple of days. I'm sleeping and I'm reading and I'm hoping to have some sex. So set that as your goal as well. All right, coming up next, we're going to be sliding into those DMs. Also, we are channelq.com. Spend your holiday checking out our podcast. That's where it is. All right, you're listening to Love Line with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Love Line. This is Love Line with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
Y'all, you know why we need to do all this work of sex positivity and why the show is so important is we have things like this constantly happening. Instagram right now. People are literally having to change their identified gender on Instagram because right now it's targeting females' pages and shutting them down that are in any way related to sexuality. And again, I'm talking about sex educators, not just sex workers who also have a right to utilize that platform, but also like sex educators. So they're changing their genders because it's not targeting men. And that's why people like me, my pages are flourishing. It's really heartbreaking because again, people, this is their livelihood. This is how they market their business. That's how they get their work out there. But also it's meaningful just because it's activism, right? Female sexual empowerment, it's something we're still working so hard at generating. And these people, just their mere presence is a counterbalance to that, right? It's a rebellion and a resistance. So much work to do, but it's heartbreaking because like I said, I have people whose pages are getting shut down that I know, and this is impacting their livelihood and their ability to pay their bills and take care of their families. So that's why these things are important. So anyway, support those pages, but that's what's happening. Even PrEP, right? That pill that if you take every day can prevent the transmission of HIV, that's too political for Instagram. And also Facebook, they're having struggles keeping their ads and their pages going as well. And that's just non-gendered. That's healthcare. It's human rights issues. So anyway, all right, time to slide into those DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms because it's a big old sex world and we want you to explore with confidence. All right, here we go. Hey, Dr. Chris and Loveline, how do you handle a threesome? I'm a cis woman and my boyfriend wants to add another girl, but I don't find myself aroused by women. Welp, you got two questions there. How do I handle a threesome and how do I handle one that I don't want to have? If you don't find yourself aroused by women, you might want to opt out of a threesome or you might want to kind of flip it. So a man that wants to watch his female partner with another man is called cuckolding. They have the inverse, which is cuckqueening, which is when a female watches their partner with someone else. So maybe you want to go that route. Like, hey, babe, not really interested in females myself sexually. Don't necessarily want to engage them. Sounds like you want to. And I'll be in the room and I'll just enjoy watching you enjoy yourself with someone else. That might be the route you want to take. But I would never tell someone to engage in sexuality that they're not interested in. And if you're solidly saying you're not down with that, then don't. So you might want to either say, look, I'm not interested at all in participating, or maybe I'm willing to be in the room, but I don't necessarily want to engage. Or maybe say to your boyfriend, y'all, you go do your thing. I'll be at home watching Netflix and let me know how it is when you get back. That's how I set that up. So how do I handle threesome in relationship to your question? Set boundaries. Talk about it beforehand. What are you comfortable having happen with you? What are you comfortable witnessing? Also talk to them about, hey, if this is not going the way I wanted it to go and I'm not feeling safe and comfortable, what is it I can say that tells us we shut it down? And more importantly, afterwards, talk about how that went for you. What would you want to have happen again or not at all? What would you want to change next time? Process, post-care always. So, there that is. Slide the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms. Anyway, thrown off. A lot happened in the studio tonight. Podcast is up at wearechannelq.com, so go there. You can binge listen and go back and listen to them. People are constantly sliding and asking where we can find these. I'm going to keep posting it more and also some of the sound bites, but wearechannelq.com. But again, it's a holiday time, and whenever holidays are coming, I'm always telling people set those boundaries, knowing that the holiday is on its way. Check in with yourself around what you might need to do to make sure it feels safe for you and not triggering. We talked about this before. We'll talk about it again. Have a plan B. Have maybe a secondary place to stay in case the environment doesn't feel safe for you. And if you're talking about triggers around drugs and alcohol, you have a right to say what you're willing to be around and ask people to go sober this holiday. And if it's something you're not willing to do, let them know you'll stick around in the beginning. But as soon as the drinks come out or people are getting intoxicated, that you're going to kind of exit and leave because you get to take care of yourself. Remember, it's your holiday time as well. And if I don't remember to talk about that tomorrow, that's why I'm bringing it up tonight. And we're going to repeat that when we come up with the next holiday because we get to have our triggers honored, but also more importantly, we want to be able to enjoy ourselves. It's supposed to be fun. So you don't have to be forced into any family, social, or otherwise environmental factors that aren't going to really make you feel good or take care of yourself. So check in on that one. We'll be back tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern. And as always, thanks for hanging out with me. And y'all have an awesome, awesome night.